We know that life can be very unpredictable. Joys and sorrows, blessings and difficulties, and they can come very unexpectedly. And our life's dreams and plans can change sometimes in an instant. And we are at the moment living in very strange and turbulent times, aren't we? So how can we find peace in the midst of ups and downs in life so that we're able to say, as the hymn said, it is well with my soul? Well, the hymn writer, a man called Horatio Spafford. Let me tell you about how he came to write the hymn. He was a successful lawyer, a property investor. He made a lot of money. And then he lost his money in a great fire in Chicago in 1871. And around the same time, he lost his dearly loved four-year-old son. His son died of scarlet fever. So thinking a holiday would do his family some good, he sent his wife and four daughters on a ship to England. And then he planned to join them after he'd finished some urgent business at home. But while that ship was crossing the Atlantic Ocean, there were no planes in those days, so people would travel by ship, the ship was involved in a terrible collision, and the ship sank. More than 200 people lost their lives. All four of Horatio Spafford's daughters died. So he was this very prosperous, rich man. He lost his money, his son, and now four daughters. His wife's name was Anna, and she survived. She arrived here in England, and she sent a telegram to her husband, saved alone, what shall I do? So Horatio Spafford immediately set sail himself to come here to England. And at one point during the crossing of the Atlantic, the captain of the ship was aware of this tragedy that had occurred to this man's family. And he called Horatio Spafford. And they passed over the spot where the ship had sunk. And Horatio thought about his daughters who had died. And as he considered what was happening, these words of hope came to his soul. And he wrote them down, and that's the hymn that we've sung. When peace like a river attends my way, so when everything is going well, then when sorrows like sea billows, like big waves in the sea, crash upon me, whatever my lot, whatever happens to me, God has taught me to know it is well with my soul. And that's how he came to write the hymn that we heard sung. And so what I'm saying is, all of us have times in our lives where there are joys and thanksgiving, but sometimes, for all of us too, there are storms and difficulties. How can we, by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his grace, in his forgiveness, in his peace, how are we able to say, in all the different changing circumstances of life, it is well with my soul? Can you say this morning, it is well with your soul? How do you manage to keep that trust in the midst of all that's happening with this coronavirus pandemic? Keep that hope and trust in a culture here in the UK that is increasingly godless. Keep your trust and hope when everything a Christian stands for and believes in seems to be under attack these days. When you consider what's going on in the UK, which of our political leaders are acting like true Christians? Our Supreme Court seems to regard every freedom important except the freedom of the Christian conscience. Our culture now prizes toleration above everything else, but does not want to tolerate those who stand on the solid truth of the Word of God. You turn on the TV and people slip in and out of sexual relationships at the drop of a hat. And almost every new program portrays a gay person or a gay couple as if this is normal and acceptable. So our newspapers celebrate gay pride, but undermine the truths of the Bible. So how are you going to be able to say this morning, "It is well with my soul"? In a culture that is increasingly antagonistic to the Christian faith. Well, some professed believers at this time, because of these pressures, tried to just accommodate to the culture. A couple of weeks ago, I was sent a news article on a best-selling author and a former editor of a magazine covering contemporary Christian music. His name is Matthew Turner. He says that he's an evangelical, born-again Christian. But here's what he says. As someone who has spent 30-plus years in fundamentalist evangelical churches, exploring God through conservative theologies, I've lived many days overwhelmed by fear, shame, and self-hatred. But for the first time in my life, despite the sadness and grief I'm feeling right now, I can say with confidence that I'm ready to embrace freedom, hope, and God as a gay man. And so now he's going to embark upon that lifestyle. And you see, there is a distortion of the idea of grace that imagines that grace means you can live any lifestyle you want, even if it's contrary to the teaching of the Bible. So we know, living as Christians, there are difficulties today. And there were difficulties that the Hebrew Christians faced. They were striving to live as Christians in a culture that was pagan. They lived in a culture that hated the Christian faith, because the Christian faith would not compromise. They lived in a culture that hated the Christian claim that Jesus was the only way to God, that Jesus alone is the Saviour. In fact, they lived in a culture that persecuted Christians more violently than ours does. And to avoid conflict with culture, there were some choices that were tempting. For example, to withdraw from the world, to withdraw from the culture entirely, like the Amish people do. Or to avoid an attitude of silence that never speaks to the culture. Or to compromise so that you live in a way that's not in conflict with the culture at all, just fit in. But the book of Hebrews will tell us that that response of just avoiding conflict with culture at all costs is not the right response. Indeed, even to avoid persecution at all costs is not the right response. Hebrews does not tell us to withdraw from the culture or to be silent or to make compromises. Rather, what we're going to see this morning, Hebrews tells us to endure, to press on in the face of conflict and even persecution. And Hebrews tells you, you can do that and still be able to say, it is well with your soul. Why does Hebrews argue that? Because those who forsake the gospel, says Hebrews, find out how fearful it is to fall into the hands of the living God. So to be able to say this morning, it is well with my soul, in a culture that presses us away from Jesus Christ and the gospel. How do we say it is well with my soul? Well, the first thing that Hebrews speaks about is it will be well with your soul as you have confidence and endurance. Confidence, not in yourself, but in God. In verse 35, there's this negative statement. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence. That word for confidence appears 31 times in the New Testament. It's usually translated in the Gospels as boldness. We're told again and again, Jesus spoke with boldness. As he spoke about himself, about the kingdom of God, about the way of salvation, he spoke with boldness. In the book of Acts, we find the same word is used for the apostles. Peter spoke boldly on the day of Pentecost. When a man was a crippled man was healed, who'd been sitting at the gate of the temple for years, by the word of Peter, Peter and John were hauled before the Sanhedrin and were asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, told the assembly about Jesus, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. He told them, salvation is found in no other. And he spoke with boldness, confidence. It's the same word. So Hebrews tells you this morning, don't throw away your confidence in God, the eternal, unchanging God of grace and power. Don't throw away your confidence in God. Now that's what some of the Hebrews were tempted to do. They were throwing away their confidence in God. Is your confidence this morning, your hope, your trust, your reliance in the living God, the God of the Bible? The Hebrews were being tempted to leave Jesus and go back to Moses. They were being pressured to go back to the Jewish faith because the Christian faith was being persecuted by the Roman culture, whereas the Jewish faith was being more tolerated. Now, it's sad to hear, actually, that the Judaism of that time was more able to fit in with that pagan culture. But what about speaking about the social evils of the day? Abortion, murder, slavery, drunkenness, abandoned children. Evils that the Christians did speak out about. So the Hebrew Christians were told, don't throw away your confidence in God. And you can be bold, they were saying. You can speak about Jesus and the gospel. But the problem was then that brought them into conflict with the culture. But then this positive statement, for you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. You can say it is well with your soul. Have confidence in God and keep going. You need endurance. Need. Not optional. Not desirable, but absolutely necessary. Endurance, perseverance, be steadfast, stand against the opposition, hold out, remain, keep going. You need endurance. In the parable of the sower, one of the marks of the seed that falls on good soil is that it endures and brings forth good fruit. Endurance is the mark of the Christian in the New Testament. Endurance in the faith. Despite a godless culture that pressures you, stand fast. Don't withdraw. Don't just be silent. Don't compromise. Instead, endure. Hang in there. Keep your confidence in God. Now again, that's what some of the Christians that this writer in Hebrews, as he's writing to them, that's what they were not doing. But the Bible is saying to us this morning, here in Kensett Evangelical Church, don't throw away your confidence in God. And you will need to have boldness and keep going when the culture pressures you to give up. You hold fast to what you have. I'm sure you're aware this morning that there are some who have professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, exactly like these Hebrew Christians, people who've sat in this congregation, sat where you're sitting this morning, who've professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then because of the godless culture pressurizing them, threw it away, did not hold fast, stopped attending Christian worship, just drifted away. Be warned, Hebrews is saying. Don't be like that. Don't throw away your confidence in God. Don't throw away your boldness, your courage when it comes to Jesus and the gospel. Keep going. Hold fast. What specifically can we do to hold fast and show endurance? Well, the rest of what we've read in Hebrews this morning, what we're looking at, explains that for us. Keep going. Have confidence in God. Have endurance to press on. How are we helped to that? Hebrews 10, verse 32 speaks of recalling, remembering. What are we to remember? Hebrews 10, 32. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Remember, recall. Recall how you came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was asked a question a week or two ago. Some people can remember a particular moment when they came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For some people, that process stretched over weeks, months, sometimes years. There are those who are brought up in Christian homes sometimes who can't remember a time when they didn't trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the important thing is not that you can or can't fix a date as to when you became a Christian. The important thing is, are you trusting this morning in the Lord Jesus Christ? Recall back in your mind, whether to a particular time or a period of time, or perhaps even right through your life, that you are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you remind yourself and recall God's grace to you. His undeserved kindness. Not because of anything we are or anything we've done, but by God's grace, he brought you to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Recall. Recall how you came to faith. That you were baptized, you confessed your faith. And then recall that you endured a great struggle with sufferings. Here, the writer says, you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations. Reproaches means words. Words of scorn, of hostility, of contempt, of disrespect. You can remember, some of you. You're called a Bible basher or a low-flying angel or some disrespectful term. And it was done openly, says the writer here. Made a spectacle. It's the word we get, our English word theatre, from. Sometimes in front of everyone, publicly scorned, humiliated, shamed. Christians openly mocked, laughed at, insulted. And when that happens, think of what the Lord Jesus Christ endured. What was the Lord Jesus Christ called? A drunkard, a glutton, a madman, demon-possessed, a son of Satan. So recall. Remember, you became companions of those who were so treated. The early Christians comforted one another. That's important, isn't it? That we are able to share our experiences and comfort one another this morning. Link arm with a brother, with a sister who's being mocked for their faith. At home, at work, in the street, wherever it is, you link arms and you say, I'm praying for you. I'm encouraging you. What can I do to help you? And Paul says, you had compassion on me in my chains. In other words, he was in prison. One of the repeated themes in the Bible is remembering those in prison. Who was in prison? Well, some were thieves and murderers, but some were fellow Christians. Christians who had been put in prison because they confessed Jesus Christ before society. And the early Christians sympathized with their brothers and sisters in prison. And prison ministry in New Testament times was not like prison ministry today. Prisoners back then were not pampered. Food, drink, clothing, medicine, blankets, everything had to come from outside. It's the same in many countries even today. And the early Christians sympathized with their brothers and sisters in prison. They came with food, with drink, with clothing, with medicine, with blankets for their brothers and sisters in the faith. And some of those Christians never came out of prison. And some, in visiting them, themselves came under suspicion. But remember Jesus, who left the glory of heaven to identify with us in our needs. He left the safety of a heavenly home and the glory of heaven to sympathize with those who were imprisoned by their sin and darkness and unbelief, and to set us free and give us forgiveness of sins. Recall, he says, how you joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods. For some Christians, their possessions were taken from them, their home, their furnishings, their beds, their clothing, their money, their business, their farm. We're not sure. Was it done by Roman officials? Was it done by a mob? But there were Christians who lost all that they had. That man, Horatius Spafford, who wrote the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," he loses all his money in that fire in Chicago, 1871. It was a Great Depression. Then he loses his son, then four daughters. "It is well with my soul." How could he write that? Confidence in God, isn't it? Trusting in the Lord. And here the writer is saying, recall, if the world hates you because you love Jesus, remember, the servant is not greater than the master. The world hated Jesus too. And yet God will sustain you. God will bring you through. God will give you strength. God will give you courage. God will even give you boldness. He was faithful in the past, will be faithful today, and will be faithful forever. Now, what we endure today is not the same as what the Hebrews endured. But we still do live in a godless culture. And increasingly you sense there is a hostility to the Christian faith. But the God who sustained them is able to sustain us. The God who brought them through trials and tribulations will bring us through trials and tribulations. So recall, he's saying, remember. And particularly remember, recall God's faithfulness. So confidence and endurance, confidence in God, pressing on. To help to do that, recall the past. Think back now, since you became a Christian. There are times when we have all been unfaithful. But has God been unfaithful? Recall the faithfulness of God. What a faithful God we have. And then one last point. Look forward to the future. How could these Christians endure losing their property? Ending up in prison, willing to take the risk of standing with those who are being persecuted for their faith. Well, here's the reason, he says in verse 34. Knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Verse 35 talks about a great reward. Verse 36 says they would receive the promises. How could they be joyful when their property was taken from them? Because their treasure was in heaven, not on earth. They set their minds on things above. They set their minds on heavenly things. So the Bible says, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me," says Jesus. "Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So Hebrews is saying, life in this world is not all there is. You must set your hope now on heaven, on glory, on Jesus, on the new heavens and the new earth. where there will be no pain, no suffering, no crying, no tears, no persecution, no trials. Life to the full in the presence of the Lord, fullness of joy. At his right hand, pleasures forevermore. Keep your eyes on those blessings. Hold those blessings before your eyes. They will keep you going. So we must not live our lives this morning as if this world is all there is. Life is more than life in London. Life is more than health and wealth, birth and retirement, jobs and school. We do not just live for this world. If you just live for this world, you will not endure. You won't keep going when the pressures come on. If you just live for this world, you will throw away your confidence. If you just live for this world, you'll choose silence or withdrawal or compromise. But, says the Bible, if you're a Christian, you're a stranger and a pilgrim in this world. You're looking forward to a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So look to the future and keep the faith. How can we be sure of God's promises? How could the Hebrew Christians be sure that they would have a better and lasting possession? Hebrews anchors their hope in the promises of God, which are absolutely reliable, which are yes and amen in Christ. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Now that quote is from Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk and the children of Israel were oppressed in Babylon. And Habakkuk cried out to the Lord, O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save. How long? How long will these difficulties, how long will this oppression, how long will this persecution last? How long? And God's answer to Habakkuk and to us is, one day my promises will be realized. My promises are absolutely reliable, God is saying. But in the meantime, live by faith. Don't draw back. Or in the words of Hebrews, don't throw away your confidence. So you see yourself, we see ourselves in this passage this morning. Are you being tempted to draw back? Or are you living by faith? The writer here says in verse 39, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. There's a warm hope that the writer has for this congregation. How they bore up, how they stood firm in the trial. And the conclusion makes it very clear that the author is writing not a blast against apostates, but a pastoral warning to believers. He wants to encourage them to keep going. Keep believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. You begin the Christian life with faith in Jesus Christ. Well, continue in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And look forward to the second coming of Jesus. Live in that light, the future hope. There are people who start out with a profession of faith and somewhere along the way they get lost. And it's always because they've taken their eyes off Jesus. Taken their eyes off Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. So keep going, Hebrews is saying. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. Now, I don't claim to know all the answers of what that means. But it seems to me that if you fix your eyes upon Jesus this morning, you must fix your eyes on who Jesus is. Is Jesus your Lord and Saviour? Fix your eyes on him. Your help in time of need. Your source of peace and joy. Your redeemer, your protector, your guide, your shepherd. Fix your eyes on who Jesus is. And then fix your eyes on who you are in Christ. That you've been adopted and brought into the family of God. That you are loved, you're cherished, you're cared for in Christ. You can say, you are his and he is yours forever. That you are safe in his protection this morning. So fix your eyes on who you are in Jesus Christ, and then fix your eyes on what Jesus has promised. The promises of God are reliable. God will never break his promise. That he will never leave you, never forsake you. That he will even use every heartache and work all things together for good to those who love him. That he will get you through to the other side of the storm. And he will give you life to the full. And that he is the author and the finisher of your faith. You see, if you choose this morning to fix your eyes just on circumstances, what will happen is you lose your focus on Jesus. So you recall the Lord's faithfulness in the past. You recall his heart is towards you. You replace unbelieving fear with the truth of God's word. That's not the power of positive thinking. Your mind is transformed as the word of God renews your mind. So it's replacing a fleshly, human perspective, which is based on our distorted feelings and understanding, with a heavenly perspective. You understand, God is good, God is reliable, God is faithful, his promises are sure. You trust, you entrust yourself to Jesus Christ. Yes, there are sometimes difficulties in the Christian life. Yes, we live in a sinful and broken world. But we are not just living for London. We are living for heaven. So fix your eyes on Jesus. So that you can say this morning, it is well with your soul. Can you say that? It's a wonderful thing. By the grace of God and by God's word and God's spirit, that you can be enabled to say this morning, it is well with my soul. Let's come to God. Let's pray all together. Lord, we thank you for those this morning who are able to say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul because my sins are forgiven, cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It is well with my soul because the righteousness of Jesus Christ has been put to my account by faith, and I am accepted before God. It is well with my soul because I've been brought into the family of God through faith, through new birth by the Holy Spirit, and turning from sin and a selfish way of life, turning to Jesus Christ, in whom alone there is eternal life. So, Lord, teach us what it means this morning, not to throw away our confidence, not to throw away our hope, our confidence in God. Help us to be bold, even in a day of trouble. And Lord, as we recall your grace and faithfulness to us in the past, and we look to Jesus Christ, who will one day come again in glory on the clouds of heaven, we pray you'll keep us trusting in, fixing our eyes upon Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of us and with all God's people, both today and even forevermore. Amen.